This podcast contains explicit content. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Creepy Cannabis Podcast, where we chat all things creepy, cannabis, true crime, paranormal, and weird. I'm Madeline.
I'm Rachel. I need to take a hit, though.
Okay.
Okay, you proceed.
Go ahead.
I need to repack it anyway.
So.
You good? You good, bro?
Yeah. I was waiting for you to finish.
Oh, I felt like you. I heard a clink. That's all I was saying. Did you drop something when I first went to take a hit?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I thought. You're spicy today.
You're attacking me.
You know what? Please go on, Madeline.
Thank you. The strain today is called Ghost OG, which is on topic for our spooky episode.
Ghost.
Mm-hmm. Ghost OG.
Oh, I'm sorry. The original ghost.
Mm-hmm. It is an indica dominant strain, like 70-30. It's made by crossing Afghani with OG Kush. Probably Afghani Kush and OG Kush. It's really good for calming your nerves, making you feel happy and cheerful. It will make you feel hungry, so be prepared for that.
And I just had dinner.
And it's really good for treating anxiety and stress. You can use it to cure like various mild to chronic pain, like arthritis, back pain, and headaches.
My back is going to be in pain till the day I die.
Mm.
Somebody at work today, like a client, she was like, oh, at least you're not old and XYZ. And I was like, well, I have back pain, so it's like I'm 100. Because that shit never goes away. Like, once you hurt your back.
No, it's forever.
Say goodbye to life.
It's forever. And
you're literally done.
You're done.
I'm sorry. I have to burp so bad. I've been fighting it. Thank you.
Beautiful.
I tried for a while, but I'm drinking a Coca-Cola. So.
Well done.
Oh, wait, are you done? Sorry.
With this train?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's your episode, honey.
No, so I'm...
You get to keep going.
No.
I'm not attacking you, though. It's important you know that.
You are.
I literally, the only thing I've said to her today is, oh my god, your hair looks so pretty. You're, like, really pretty. But, like, really. I love your
really,
skirt.
Really.
I fucking hate that skirt.
She doesn't even go here. Okay. So, the legend of the Bell Witch. Some of you may have heard of it. Maybe not. Contrary to what you may think, it was never an actual witch, like a woman accused of witchcraft, that is. But it refers to an extreme haunting that is experienced by members of the community of Adams, Tennessee.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't know this
in story. The early 19th century. Particularly the family of John Bell.
I say.
The Bell Witch.
I understand.
Mm-hmm. So, John Bell was a farmer from North Carolina, and along with his wife and children, they settled in Robertson County, Tennessee.
Okay.
In 1804. okay, yeah. So, I'm just going to start over again, honestly.
Because why?
I'm going to cut it back. Okay. John Bell, who was a farmer from North Carolina, along with his wife and children, settled in Robertson County, Tennessee in 1804. Their farm was a 320-acre piece of farmland that was right along the Red River.
Literally my dream.
They lived quite a peaceful life there for the first 13 years. They were members of the Red River Baptist Church.
And whoop, there it is.
Where he was a deacon.
Oh, whoop, there it is. A deacon is literally, okay, this is how it works in a Baptist church, very quick. Mm-hmm. The pastor is like Jesus. Mm-hmm. The deacons are his posse, the entourage. Mm-hmm. The ushers are the people who walk down the aisle and take your money. Mm. In Baptist church, we make sure to include a whole mix. Young, old, we don't want to think there's no nefarious activities up in there. And that's it. He's a deacon.
Okay, he's a deacon.
They're kind of like up in charge of the church at the hand of the pastor.
I see.
Yes.
So he was that. And yeah, the family was pretty prosperous. Like 13 years, that's a long time.
Oh, who'd they piss off? It's year 13. It was probably like some hex.
It was actually the late summer of 1817.
They had been in the house for 13 years, so I am, in fact, correct.
1804.
Well. Oh. I'm simply saying that after 13 years of peace, do you guys see how she's coming for me today?
I thought you meant like 1813.
I know what you thought I meant. Because the attitude in your eyes that I did not just... Is this because you drove here? Because I told you I would come to your house.
No!
You guys.
I just thought.
Is this our first light? I'm just kidding. I thought that's what you meant. No.
No, you're right then. Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
I was just trying to make it work. But you know what? It's too far gone now.
It's fine. I'll just move on.
We are the most awkward motherfuckers. How do we have any listeners?
I'm not sure. To be clear. So, 1817. apparently, some members of the family began seeing strange-looking animals around the property. Honestly, just the thought of that is really fucking creepy to me. Like, not quite an animal, but a strange-looking animal. That's really... Ugh.
Yeah, but, like, if somebody didn't tell you what a fucking tortoise was, you'd be like, what in the prehistoric fuck is this? A fucking rooster? Okay.
True.
A llama.
A llama.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are fucking...
If you weren't, like, a little kid and your mom was like, what does a llama do? Spit. You'd be fucking terrified. That was me spitting. You'd be fucking terrified.
I would indeed be terrified.
Yeah, I'd be, like, out there, like, fucking Cinderella or whichever one. Yeah, she has all the mice and shit. I'd be out in the woods like, come to me.
Then, late at night, they started hearing knocking sounds on all the doors and outer walls of the house.
That's a fuck no for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a firm hard pass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then they started hearing, like, noises in the house. They heard this, like, the sound of a rat gnawing on their bedpost. Chains being dragged throughout the house. Stones being dropped on the wooden floors. And then some gulping and choking sounds as well.
Oh, so somebody's getting... that good dick as well.
Tipping that.
I mean, everything you describe sounds like a little BDSM, and like maybe they got caught and didn't want to admit it.
The rat gnawing at the bedpost.
I mean, or it's the handcuffs gnawing at the bedpost.
So apparently they were very scared, but they kept the problem to themselves for over a year before things became pretty intolerable. So at that point, John confided in a neighbor, James Johnson.
That's the most... Not funny. JJ.
JJ. He invited Mr. Johnson and his wife to spend the night. After several nights of witnessing these strange things, they suggested that more people should be told about it. And a committee was formed, and an investigation started on the house.
Sweet Lord. Here's the thing. I would fucking keep that shit to myself because I'm not having a whole town up in my house. I'd rather deal with one literally ghost than a whole town.
Everyone in your business.
If there's going to be a BDSM ghost orgy, fuck it.
I mean, basically, it wasn't long before people were coming from miles around to hear and witness this unforeseen force that was terrorizing the house. And it apparently, at this point, had gained enough strength that it now had a voice.
This is a whole demon.
Entity. Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is a demon.
A whole demon.
Okay. That makes more sense. Mm-hmm. So that's why they blame it on a woman.
Mm-hmm. Well, when it was asked who and what it was, it would give different identities. So it once said that it was the witch of a neighbor woman named Kate Batts.
Even the fucking demons are blaming the bitches.
This is what many people believed. So then they called it Kate. Or the Bell's Witch.
Not. Excuse me, Catherine?
Kate.
Can we please have a conversation about your behavior at night? you have to shut it down by 3 a.m. It's the firm line. What is life?
Yeah, so Kate was pretty pissed off about something. I don't know.
Probably the fucking white man.
I mean, yes, because her entire reason for visiting the house was to kill John Bell. Apparently, that's what she said.
He done fucked up.
But yeah, she never gave a reason why. She just said that that was the main reason for her being there.
I'm telling you why. This man probably had a girl or a woman hooked up in his fucking 310-acre somewhere. Mm-hmm. And she was probably chained up mm-hmm. to a wooden post trying to get away. And this bitch said, watch me. And she probably suffocated to death. I swear to God, I believe that in my whole heart.
And he's being haunted.
Yeah. Why else would it have after 13 years?
My whole heart.
Yes.
No evidence.
The evidence is my intuition and his fucking jacked ass vibe. Ride the vibe, bro. Or get off the train.
Ass vibe.
First of all, because I grew up in a Baptist church, so he fucking had a girl tied up in his basement.
For sure. But yeah, for 3 years, Kate tormented the family. Pretty much daily. John and his daughter Betsy were the ones who received the worst of the physical abuse. She had her hair pulled, she would be pinched, scratched, struck with pins, and even beaten, which I am very much wondering how the fuck that happened.
And also, what does it mean? Like, spanked? Or, like, punched in the face? Like,
I don't know.
What is beaten?
I don't know.
I don't know why a ghost who is mad at the dad would attack the children, though. That doesn't seem fair.
Apparently, John Bell began suffering from spells of swelling of the throat, and he often had the feeling that a stick was being stuck sideways in his throat.
Oh, so maybe he did, in fact, suffocate her. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, he's an innocent victim. Let me calm down.
I mean, you have some suspicions.
I do, and they're pretty firm for no fucking reason.
They are pretty firm.
I'm just certain that no self-respecting woman is going to waste her time haunting a man unless he fucked up.
I mean, that's probably true.
Yeah.
That's probably true.
Proceed.
Then came the twitching and jerking of his facial muscles. So Kate would apparently blast him with curses.
Oh, okay.
And hideous threats during these spells. And as time went on, he became weaker and weaker.
Aww.
But Kate was, like, fucking famous. Whole crowds were coming out to see her. People were into it. Apparently she seemed to be very intelligent.
This knew bitch a lot about the Bible. Magazine's Woman of the Year. About the Bible.
Yeah, people's past, their future. Apparently she could be in two places at once. Miles apart from each other.
That's a whole ass demon.
Yeah.
That's pretending to be a woman.
Yeah. It's a demon.
Yeah, because a ghost is a person's, like, goat. They're not just, they ain't being in every place at once.
No. But John's son said that one morning they couldn't wake him up. And he added that family members had discovered a smoky-looking vial of a dark-colored liquid, I guess, next to his bed after he fell into a coma. Which, like, what does that mean?
I'm not sure. And I have a lot of opinions.
I'm just really not sure what that means. But he said, quote, and that could be anything. I mean, that could be coffee, right?
Okay. Oh, what a time to be alive.
But anyway, legend says the witch, who could speak, claimed the liquid was a poison that she had given him the night before with the intention to kill him, which is apparently something that she'd been threatening to do for a long time.
But why would he take the poison if she... It's fine.
I am not sure, to be honest with you.
Okay.
It's really not clear.
My theory's feeling more and more validated.
So the family decided to give the liquid to a cat to see if it was really poison.
These motherfuckers.
That's really rude if you think about it.
Did the cat die?
The cat died after ingesting it.
Promptly? Okay.
Mm-hmm, promptly. And the family doctor said that the liquid shared a similar smell with the scent on John's breath. I'm really not sure how he knew that.
I think it's pretty fucking clear.
I'm really not sure how he knew that.
He sniffed his corpsey breath.
I'm dead.
But also that, I'm sorry, but, like, you killed a cat, so, like...
Like, that's not gonna work for me.
I have a hard time forgiving you, but it's fine. Proceed.
So...
So he's dead, presumably? Or is he just in a coma? I forget what you said.
Well, now I've forgotten.
I'm pretty sure he said he slipped into a coma.
One morning they couldn't wake him up. That's where we were, or where we had left off. So we hadn't distinguished any. Nothing's been just, like, yeah. We don't know if he's dead yet.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
You got ahead of me.
We were past.
And then I forgot. And then I forgot if I had said it or not.
We were past.
Oh, yeah,
that.
He did fall into a coma. Mm-hmm. I did say that.
Yeah, you did say that. As I said.
Anyway, proceeding on.
At least Maddie takes her losses. Like a champ.
There it is. Yes, indeed. In a coma.
And
so
now the cat is dead. Okay.
The cat is dead. So the family decided to destroy the poison by throwing it into the fire, where it ignited into a blue flame.
So you're all just going to inhale the spores then?
Yes. They chose that life for themselves.
Okay. It's a choice.
The choice that they made.
Yeah. They either have to live or die with it.
Yeah. So Kate finally accomplished her mission. On December 20th, 1820, John Bell died.
R.I.P.
It was believed that he was poisoned by Kate, and she took full credit for his death, so whatever that means.
Clearly she was talking to these motherfuckers, so she probably was like, it was me.
Like, was it not the wife all along, you know?
Probably. I'm telling you, he had someone chained up in the basement.
Yeah, it was believed he was poisoned by Kate again. And then in March of 1821, Betsy broke off her engagement with Joshua Gardner. I assume that's the wife.
Betsy? Betsy's the daughter.
Oh.
Yeah, so she must have been engaged and then broke it off.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That makes perfect sense now.
I'm here for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So then, I guess Kate just was like, all right, I'm out of here. That's all.
Right after he died?
That's all, folks.
Or after the engagement?
After the engagement was broken off.
So her work there was done. She killed the dad and then shooed away probably some terrible guy from Betsy.
Mm-hmm.
And then she dipped out.
And then she was like, peace, bitch. I'm done here. So apparently she promised to return in 7 years. I'm not really sure why. That seems very specific. In 1828... 7 years, I guess, later. She returned for a few short weeks, and during this visit, she came to the home of John Bell Jr. and had long talks with him about the past, the present, and the future. Okay.
How is she coming to them? Is this like a floating orb? Is this a person? Is it a cloud of dust?
I don't know. They really didn't clarify.
I mean, I guess it was 1821, so.
They simply didn't clarify.
They simply were like, she fucking came there.
She was here, talking to me about
the future.
The past and the present and the future.
Okay.
She did make some predictions for the future, apparently, and she said there was a reason for John Bell's death. However, she would never say what it was.
Yeah, the reason was it made her happy.
She's so rude. After the second visit, she said that her next return would be in 107 years.
Which is when?
Which would be 1935. Some believe that she never left the area at all due to some strange things that have occurred in and around the town of Adams and the Bellwitch Cave, because apparently there's a cave.
What?
They didn't bring that up previously to this.
Okay.
There is a cave. Actually, it's really creepy, and...
Can we go?
Yeah, apparently she haunts the cave.
I'm trying to talk to Kate, though.
There are many books written about this. They actually talk about it in schools, even. Which
really?
Which is super weird.
Are there any movies about it?
I mean, in Tennessee.
Oh.
Like, in Tennessee schools. And it's part of Tennessee history, actually. That they teach in schools.
That's interesting.
Indeed. But the story of the movie, The Blair Witch Project, which honestly traumatized me as a young child.
Y'all know that's one I've never seen.
Oh, you've never seen it.
But that was actually filmed in Burkittsville, Maryland, and Sean and I have camped there before. Actually, that wooden tree right there,
mm-hmm.
that looks like a gun,
mm-hmm.
That is from when we went camping in Burkittsville. Okay. So it's weird that you're bringing up the Blair Witch.
Yeah,
which creepy. Is the one horror movie I have never and will never see.
It's creepy as fuck.
I won't do it.
It's really scary.
But it was based on that?
Yes. It's about these four friends who hike into the Black Hills near Burkittsville, Maryland in 1994, the year of my birth.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
To film a documentary about local legend known as the Blair Witch, which is basically like the Bell Witch. And the three disappear, but their equipment and footage are discovered 1 year later. And the recovered footage is what you see in the film.
That sounds terrifying, only because of my horrible premonition.
Yeah, it's honestly quite scary. Additionally, it's like first person 1994. Why did I just say it like that?
1994.
1994 camcorder quality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is not good. But it's terrifying.
I'll never know.
Yes. So the students explore the woods, and again, as to research the legend, they meet two fishermen who warn them that the woods are haunted. And he tells them of a young girl named Robin Weaver who went missing in 1888, but she returned 3 days later, and she talked about an old woman whose feet never touched the ground.
That's unacceptable.
So that's a really nice thought to mm-hmm. think about.
Mm-hmm.
The students like to hike on Coffin Rock, where five men were found ritualistically murdered in the 19th century. Their bodies later disappeared. So, there's that.
Okay.
And the following day, they try to hike back to the car, but they can't find it. So, before dark, they make camp. And then, like, throughout the night, they hear, like, a bunch of twigs snapping. And in the morning, they find that three... like, of those little weird things that are made out of wood.
Yeah, the ones from the trailer.
Yeah, were built around their tent. And her map is missing. Well, their map is missing. So, one of the guys reveals that he kicked the map into the creek out of frustration. Because that's what one does.
Yes, correct. That's what... Yes.
That's what one does when they're upset.
Mm-hmm.
So, he threw the map in the lake... Okay. I mean, the creek.
The body of water.
Into the body of water. And obviously, it causes a fight. They decide to head south using a compass that they have. And there's a bunch of stick figures and shit hanging from the trees. Apparently, they can all hear children laughing. Well, you kind of hear it in the video, in the movie.
Maddie was like, oh, the one movie Rachel will never see. I'm going to explain it to her so she mm-hmm. has to watch it through her ears.
Mm-hmm.
I am shook at it right now.
And, yeah, so they're basically in their tent, and, like, their tent starts shaking, and they go and run out of their tent and hide in the woods until dawn. And after they get back to their tent, they realize that their possessions have been rifled through. Their equipment is covered in slime, and they come across, yeah.
Okay.
And then they come across a river that's identical to the one that they crossed earlier and realize that they have been walking in a big circle. The next morning, they wake up and one of the guys has disappeared. They
Is it Justin?
Josh.
Okay.
Yeah. His name's Josh.
So that's one thing my dream got wrong. In my dream, I'm pretty sure it was Justin.
Oh my god.
I never noticed that until now. I'm sorry.
He disappears.
Yes, thank you.
And they're trying to find him. That next night, they hear his screams, but they can't find him.
No.
And they think that the screams are just a fabrication by the witch to draw them out of their tent.
Ugh.
That really gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Okay, real quick. Have you ever seen the movie The Ritual?
Oh, I don't want to. I'm scared.
So not for you, but for the people listening that are looking for... It's literally the same movie, but different. But The Ritual is really scary, and you should watch it.
I'm scared.
Not you. The people.
So the next day, they discover a bundle of sticks tied with fabric from Josh's shirt.
No.
So when they...
I simply don't accept it.
When they open the bundle, they find a blood-soaked scrap of his shirt with teeth, hair, and a finger, and a piece of his tongue.
I would simply go back into the tent and permanently go to sleep.
Yeah.
I'm upset.
Yeah, and then, again, they hear his screams off in the distance, which they follow to an abandoned house containing demonic symbols and children's bloody handprints on the walls.
No, not children's bloody handprints.
I'm telling you. They're trying to find Josh. They're going all throughout the house. It's honestly the most terrifying thing I've ever seen in my fucking life.
That was in my dream.
Yeah. Well, the basement.
Mm. Right? I don't remember.
So...
No, there were stairs in my dream.
They're trying to find him, so they go down the stairs to the basement where this thing flies from the corner of the room.
No.
And then the camera drops, and then, like, the girl comes down to the basement, and her camera captures the other guy just standing in the corner facing the wall.
Oh, that's from my dream.
And then something comes towards her, making the camera drop, and then the footage ends.
I'm uncomfy.
And that's the Blair Witch Project. If you've never seen it, I ruined it. So
the spoiler alert came late on this one, folks.
If you've never seen it, it's too late.
Too bad.
But it's actually literally so fucking scary.
No, I can't. I was just watching The Ring the other day, and for the first time since I've seen it, I was like, oh, this isn't scary anymore. I was scared of that movie for like 100 fucking years.
Yeah, it's fucking scary. So that's the Blair Witch Project, which the Bell Witch is based off of. But yeah, apparently, I mean, obviously the witch was like a bunch of people just came out to witness it.
They just came out to talk to Kate.
But the only person who was really haunted was John.
And I'm telling you. You don't think there's any validity to the pieces I put together in that?
There is.
She shook her head no while saying there is. That way you guys know she doesn't believe it. It's okay. We'll never know. But when I fucking get to Tennessee, I'm asking Kate. I'm going to be like, bitch, listen. And she went, oh my God.
I love Tennessee.
You finally broke the spell. You're the first person in 800 years to fucking guess.
We should go to Nashville again.
Yeah. Definitely, while I can rage, I do plan to be inebriated the entirety of the trip.
Oh, it is a joy that way.
Yeah. I don't plan to know a single thing other than, well, you know, Sean's like one of those dogs that like herd sheep.
Aww.
And when we get like out of control, he just like wanders around us in circles. He's like... Yeah. And he's just like these fucking idiots. I've got them.
Well, so you know, I'll be alone, so it'll just be the thrice of us.
First of all, you won't be. I'm going to manifest, not the love of your life, because nobody even wants that anymore. I'm just going to manifest some good deed for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
I'm a real friend.
I appreciate that.
And despite the way she treated me the entirety of this episode, look how kind I was to her. She's just butthurt that she has to hold a broken microphone that's literally held together with washi tape right now.
My wrist does hurt, but it's irrelevant.
I offered so many times to give her the microphone that's not broken.
But
so.
I was confident.
She's really punishing herself, even though she didn't break it. So, okay, well, I have nothing more to say on this matter either.
I additionally have nothing else to say on this matter.
Bye.
Okay, bye.